Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. Recording this week's episode with us is the Director of Strength and Conditioning for Football, Lance Ankar. Coach Ankar, appreciate you joining us today.
I appreciate y'all having me.
We're in the middle of preseason camp, about halfway through. Classes start next week. And a lot of times you hear people, coaches, some of the student athletes too, have talked about there's really been a change of culture. And they say it starts here with you in the weight room. And so for those of us who aren't in the weight room and in the locker room with this team, what does that mean? What have you come in and changed, and how did you go about doing that?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I feel like, you know, Coach Jones really set the tone, you know, with the motto, the edge, you know, and he really wanted me to develop kind of that mentality of, you know, pushing ourselves over the edge. You know, the acronym for it is effort and discipline creates great execution. And, you know, he really wanted somebody to come up in there and push the guys, both mentally and physically, but really wanted that mental toughness and, you know, as he calls it, the edge. So, you know, I think it started with him and it kind of trickled on down to where the guys have really bought in. And, you know, it was a kind of change in culture as far as just, you know, bringing somebody in that was high energy, you know, like myself. And I just try to create an environment to where these guys, you know, enjoy coming in the weight room. They enjoy what they do because not too many people get the chance to play college football and play at this level.
So you came on and it was late February, which puts you starting your job within 2 weeks of spring practice starting. Tell us about those first few days. I mean, it had to have been hectic, but when you came in, were you just trying to observe and see so that you could figure out in your mind, this is what I want to do, I want to stay away from this? Or was it more about just meeting people because you had the game plan in mind already?
Yeah, I feel like it was more meeting people. You know, I feel like the biggest thing with a strength coach is building relationships. We kind of bridge the gap between the players and the coaches. And the main thing of a strength coach is building those relationships to where those guys buy in. And I'm pretty sure you heard it. And, you know, everybody that's in the strength field, you know, we spend just as much time as anybody, if not more. So, you know, Coach Jones really trusts and, you know, believes that, hey, you know, you got to have a guy that can, you know, develop that culture even when he's not around, because the NCAA requires that they don't get to spend as much time. So I really wanted to build relationships when I first got here and kind of get a feel for the team and get a feel for the coaches and where they wanted the direction of the team to go.
So you came in, you'd been on the staff at Alabama for 4 years, and I'll ask a little bit more specifically about that later. But before that, you also had done some strength and conditioning work in high school and at the Division II level. And so for our listeners and fans of the program, what's your approach to a strength and conditioning program? Kind of what are the general principles you work off of? And how much is it that this applies to every student athlete? And how much do you make adjustments for different programs?
Okay. You know, my whole philosophy is you know, it's kind of, I guess you would say, the hard theory is kind of what I kind of base my philosophy off of. And every day we're going to go as hard as possible. You know, the workouts are going to be hard. So, you know, that way you get used to pushing yourself beyond your limits. And, you know, once you get used to doing it over and over, it just becomes second nature to where you don't have to think about it. You don't have to turn or flip a switch. It just becomes second nature to where you're going to go all out, you know, in every single thing that you do. And, you know, my whole approach, you know, at every level was, you know, to build that relationship, but also to get these guys to buy in, because I know how important the weight room is, you know, as far as it can reduce injuries, you know, you can kind of build muscle to where now you're more physical, your presence is more physical. It can build the mental toughness side of it. So, you know, the weight room is just a huge tool. I know, you know, one of the things that I always say, a lot of these guys, they didn't come here to lift weights. They didn't come here to be Olympic lifters. They came here to play football. But one of the things I try to stress is that being in the weight room, you can help your performance out on the field, not only by being on the field, but also, you know, when you do get your chance, that way you put your best foot forward and now you're more physically prepared and mentally prepared.
Again, there's we're visiting this week on Inside JAG Nation with Director of Strength and Conditioning for Football, Lance Ankar. You were a four-year letter winner at North Alabama in the early 2000s and a highly decorated center on the offensive line. How does being a former football student-athlete help you in this role you're in now in strength and conditioning at the collegiate level?
Well, I can relate to the guys. I know what this grind is all about. Right now we're in the middle of camp, so, you know, when I tell the guys that I've been there, done that, now they know for sure that they have a coach that, you know, has been through the same things that they're going through. So when their bodies are aching and just – you know, getting that motivation to go a little bit more each day and try to better yourself. I can, you know, honestly say that I've been there, done that. And, you know, this year is actually, I guess we'd say a little bit better because when I was coming through, we had 2-3-a-day practices. So, you know, honestly, I feel like it's a little bit easier now. But, you know, being down here in Mobile, I'm actually from New Orleans. So being down here in Mobile, you know, I can relate with the guys with the humidity and all of the different circumstances that they're going through. But, you know, I definitely think it helps because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, one thing that I always try to say is if you got a guy over there that's benching 135 pounds while you're hitting 315 and he's going to try to tell you how to, you know, correct your technique, it's a whole lot easier to listen to a guy that's bench pressing 500 pounds instead of, you know, 135. So, you know, I think it's easier for the guys to relate to me because they know that I've been in those shoes.
We'll just use that as a reminder for any of our listeners not to challenge you in a weightlifting contest.
Oh, well, hey, these shoulders are bad now, so they'll get me.
As I said before, you were an assistant on the staff at Alabama the last 4 years, and not only were you around in the day-to-day activities of football, but you were directly involved with baseball, men's tennis, swimming and diving and rowing. So you ran a lot of programs there. But obviously, I think what people look at and see is Alabama football and what they've done in results on the field. And being on the inside there, what is it that you try and take from your experience that you feel like, hey, I can bring it down here and add it to the equation to lift the Jaguars to another level?
I think the biggest thing that I've learned at Alabama was just the approach. Those guys approach it, you know, like pros. They really kind of, you know, take it as a business. You know, everything's business. So, you know, that was one of the biggest things that I've took from Alabama is that at the end of the day, you know, you have to prepare yourself to go through these battles. You have to win these one-on-one battles. And every day you're trying to outwork what you did yesterday. And, you know, it was a great experience for me to be down there and, you know, I guess you would say up there in Tuscaloosa because I worked with a lot of great people. But, you know, the main thing was the process that they go about and, you know, how business like it is when they, you know, approach the work aspect of, you know, trying to win championships.
Also mentioned earlier, we talked a little bit about your previous experience before then. After you got your degree from North Alabama, you coached both football and strength and conditioning at high school at Minnesota Mankato before you went to Alabama. You remember what it was that led you on that path? Maybe when, because you had that option where you could have gone either way in theory. What led you into strength and conditioning and not necessarily into continuing as a football coach?
Oh, I think that was a tough kind of, you know, deal in my life because I feel like I'm, you know, both ways almost, you know, because I feel like the expertise and things that I've learned from the football field, I can definitely, you know, use up in here because, you know, a lot of it's technique driven. So some of the stuff that we do in the weight room, it'll be for specific positions and getting guys prepared. And the way I really coach, I really felt like, you know, God was really pulling me towards the strength and conditioning field. I'm not much for sitting down and watching film all day. So I think that's another huge part, you know, but I really, you know, I really feel like I could go either way. It's just I felt more comfortable in the weight room with the energy that I have and, you know, just to be able to be around the guys all the time. I really felt that God really pulled me to that strength and conditioning side.
Now, rather than get into the specifics of choosing one for the other, you know, do you remember at what point that you thought to yourself that coaching was the career path that you wanted to take and kind of what made you feel that way?
Yeah, actually, it kind of started back in high school. You know, my high school coaches were great, and, you know, I always wanted to play ball. You know, that was the ultimate goal, but I just loved football and what it taught, you know, the aspects that it brought to your life, because I feel like it's kind of like life. And, you know, once I got done playing, I always knew I wanted to coach. I just didn't think it was going to be strength and conditioning. I thought it was going to be more on the football field. And really, I thought it was going to be more high school. And, you know, gave high school a shot. But, you know, I really felt like I was more geared towards college, especially with the experience that I've had dealing with more developed players. And, you know, when you're at the high school level, you gotta kind of deal with what you got. Whereas at the college level, you're recruiting. And, you know, these coaches here have done a great job of getting high quality talent up in here. And I've been on both ends of the spectrum. I've been, you know, at Minnesota where they really didn't have much talent. We went 2-9. And, you know, there's not much that you can do with not having any talent. And, you know, I've been here and at Alabama where you got great talent, and, you know, it's all up to, you know, how you develop them. So that was one of the biggest things that, you know, kind of got me into coaching, is that, you know, you can kind of mold a young man's life and, you know, the life lessons that you can teach to them that they can carry on. And I feel like that's the greatest thing that a coach can provide, is not the wins, the losses, but improving a young man's life and making him a better man and, you know, a better citizen to society.
So, and following up on that, okay, you thought a long time it would be football coaching. When did you first come across strength and conditioning kind of as a concept in a program? Like, did you have it in high school, or was it at North Alabama where you kind of officially got introduced to it? When did that first come into the picture for you?
Really, to be honest with you, like, as far as the way it is now, I would say more at – really the collegiate level. Even when I was at UNA, it was more the football coaches that did it. So it wasn't really until I got to Minnesota, and I think that's when it started to really pick up, you know, as far as having a strength coach. Even when we were at Minnesota, the head strength coach was also the wide receivers coach. So, you know, really at the Division I level is the only place where they have true strength coaches. Back when I was in high school, it was just one of the coaches running the program, and I don't really, you know, think we had really a rhyme or reason to what we did. It was just more lifting weights just for the sake of lifting weights, you know. And a strength coach once told me that, you know, no matter what you do, whether it be machines, whether it be dumbbells, whether it be barbells, you know, as long as you're doing something, you're going to get bigger, you're going to get stronger. It's, you know, the instilling the mental side of it, you know, that really kind of builds up a good strength and conditioning program. Because, you know, no matter what you do, as long as you're doing something, the guys are going to get bigger, they're going to get stronger. But if you have them buying in and kind of buying into what you're trying to sell, you know, that's what makes a great strength and conditioning program.
All right. So you mentioned earlier you grew up in New Orleans area, Harvey officially. How old were you when you started playing football, and do you remember why you started playing?
Yeah, actually, I was a freshman in high school. Back when I was younger, we had a weight limit at the playground level, and I was always big. So I actually played 1 year. I don't really count it just because, you know, my team was horrible. I don't think we won one game. We won one game, and I think the other team forfeited because they didn't have enough players. But I really got officially kind of started when I was in high school, and that, you know, the reason why I got into it, I was always big. I always enjoyed football. You know, we would play throw up tackle and stuff like that in the front yard, but, you know, never officially played until high school. And, you know, I just always loved it. You know, watching NFL, watching college. I grew up watching the Miami Hurricanes, and that was my team growing up. And just the swag and, you know, the way they played the game always intrigued me, always interested me. And you know, I always said once I got to high school that that was going to be my sport of choice.
So then what did you do growing up? Because surely someone with your energy level and passion did not sit on the couch and watch TV throughout, like, grade school.
No. Actually, baseball was my first love, you know, and my dad's a baseball player, mom softball, so, you know, baseball was first love. I played basketball, played flag football at the, you know, school level. But, you know, it wasn't until high school where, you know, the contact came involved. And, you know, I was always a bigger kid. You know, my mom would say it was husky. I wasn't fat. I was husky. But, you know, I was always a big guy. So, you know, I knew football was going to always be kind of the choice in the end. But, you know, it, those other sports definitely helped me, you know, with football, playing basketball, footwork and baseball, hand-eye coordination and all of those different attributes, you know, carried over to football when I finally decided to go all in.
So you end up going to Archbishop Shaw, and by the end of your career, you were an all-state player. So the simple questions, how do you end up at North Alabama?
When you're 5'11 and a half, the bigger schools tend not to show you any interest. And, you know, that was a hard time in my life, you know, because I actually talked to the guys about it the other day. You know, you think that when you beat guys that are getting these offers from LSU and all of these big-time schools that for some reason they're going to notice you. But a lot of the times when you don't fit the criteria, if you don't have that prototypical body, they won't even give you a look. So that's the reason why I ended up there. North Alabama gave me a shot. And, you know, being a 5'11" offensive lineman, not too many schools, you know, will take a chance on you. So that's how I ended up in Florence.
Well, did anyone else recruit you? Were you, that was a decision that you made to go up to Florence, or were they the only school and you said to yourself, well, that's it, I'm headed that way?
Yeah, it seemed like, hey, God ruled out every other one, so he kind of set my mind up, and, you know, that was the only school that offered it. So, yeah, I didn't really have a choice, but I'm glad that that experience came about.
So, again, now you played at North Alabama from 2002 to 2005. By the end of your career, you're a first-team All-American. You won the Remington Trophy at Division II, which goes to the best center in football. And then even after your career, when they came back at the end of the decade and voted, you were named both to North Alabama's and the Gulf South Conference's All-Decade team. So you certainly accomplished a lot on the field. You know, when you get to the end of it, I mean, when you're All-American, you're in the moment. You played. You probably have an idea how well you did. But the All-Decade team years later, after you hadn't played there for a while, remember what your reaction was when you found out that you started collecting those honors?
Really, it was just, you know, like you said, an honor. You know, we had some great teams at North Alabama and some great guys that I played with. So, you know, that's one thing that I really try to pride myself on, and I've been really preaching to these guys, is that, you know, I probably would have never got those accolades if we weren't part of great teams. And, you know, when you're part of great teams, everybody gets noticed. And, you know, I'm just fortunate to be at North Alabama at that time. We had two runs to the semifinals, 1 point away from going to the national championship. So, you know, I really feel like the teams that I were on, that I was on really kind of, you know, helped, you know, boost my status and my, you know, all those accolades came about because of that.
Now, you got done in Florence. Got your degree, health and physical education, and there's a little overlap here because you got in coaching at high school, but at the same time, you played 5 years in the Arena Football League. You played in Alabama Vipers, Georgia Force. You know, what was playing in the Arena Football League like after you've been playing kind of regular 11-man football for years?
It was definitely a shock. It's a whole lot faster than people would, you know, kind of believe. You know, when you're on a 50-yard field with eight guys on each team, you know, it's a whole lot faster. You're playing on turf. Not as much strategy involved. It's pretty much you and the guy across from you the whole game. And if you win your battles, more likely you're going to be the winner of the game. If you don't, you're pretty much going to lose. So, you know, it was definitely fun, you know, in that aspect because I got to continue to play ball. But, you know, I kind of, you know, saw the writing on the wall and knew that, you know, it wasn't going to last long because not much money in it. And that's the reason why I coached, you know, during the fall. So it kind of worked out perfectly because during the fall, I would go coach at high schools or wherever I could. And then during the spring, I would play arena ball.
Visiting with Director of Strength and Conditioning for Football, Lance Ankar, this week on Inside Jag Nation. You know, when you look at it now, you've had a chance to come in, you met everyone, you've got a program in place. When you look at South Alabama and like short-term goals this fall, this season, the next few years, is there anything you've written down with pen and paper, or is it more just about development is good?
I really feel like it's, you know, both, but never really sat down and really wrote it down, which, you know, probably need to, but you know, I just see so much potential in this place. I see, you know, that the sky's the limit and really excited about what the future holds because, you know, as I said earlier, we have great talent. We have a hotbed for recruits with New Orleans through Pensacola and Mobile area. I feel like, you know, you got some great players in these areas. And, you know, what I've been telling these guys is that, you know, We can be the first non-Power 5 to win a national championship. And with the playoff system the way it is now, you know, they're going to give somebody a shot here sooner or later. And why not be us?
Now, long-term, do you find that the passion you found in this field since you had to make that – you hit that fork in the road of footballer strength and conditioning coaching, something you want to pursue to the very end? Are there other things that you're interested in professionally that you think down the road maybe you might want to try?
Maybe down the road, you know, I would love to be a head coach, you know, a head football coach at the collegiate level. That might be something, but you know, I just love the fact that I don't have to do the politicking and all of the other stuff, you know, that the head coaches do, you know, because at the end of the day, when you're at this level and you're, you know, a head coach, you don't really get to coach as much as you would like because you have to, you know, meet with boosters and all of the other stuff that comes along with being a head coach and having that high-profile job. So maybe later on down the road, but, you know, as of right now, I feel like I still have so much youth and, you know, energy left to give. And, you know, I just love being around these guys because I think they kind of, you know, bring that youth to me. I feel like I'm one of the guys. I feel like I'm part of the team and, you know, as of right now, though, I'm really satisfied being a strength coach.
Visiting with Lance Ankar this week on Inside Jag Nation. Appreciate the time, but before we let you go, I'm going to ask you some questions here. And really, it's more about getting to know you as an individual for our listeners. And so, really, I want you to say the first thing that comes to your mind when I ask. And I'm going to start with what's the question I always do is, I know you don't have a lot of it with your schedule, but when you have free time, what's your favorite thing to do?
Spend time with my family. That's, you know, no matter where we go, whether it be the beach, whether it be just, you know, cruising around downtown Mobile, just being with my family.
What's your favorite sport outside of football?
Baseball, and I also like to watch soccer.
What's the best athletic event that you've ever attended as a fan?
I would have to say the Iron Bowl. You know, a couple times when I first started off at Alabama, I wasn't, you know, part of the strength and conditioning staff, so I was an intern and just being at the Iron Bowl and seeing that atmosphere.
If there's one athletic event that you've never been to but you want to go, it's on your bucket list, what's number one on that list?
I would say the Olympics.
Best vacation you've ever been on?
I would say this past one. You know, we went to Orlando, then went up to Charleston, and went to Atlanta. So, you know, seeing, you know, the beaches in Charleston and going to the aquarium out in Atlanta, it was neat. And seeing my children's faces, that was the biggest thing.
moving forward, you get to pick one place to go on vacation you've never been. Where are you going?
I would say somewhere in the Pacific, maybe Samoa or Fiji, New Zealand. It's one of those places in the Pacific.
What's your favorite movie?
Braveheart.
Favorite book?
Bill Walsh's Winning Takes Care of Itself.
Favorite musical artist?
It depends on the mood. I listen to different stuff depending on what I'm doing. In the weight room, it's, you know, rap. But if I'm just hanging out and just, you know, hanging out with my family, I would say Otis Redding.
And years down the line, when this successful career is over and you're retiring somewhere in the Pacific, a Hollywood producer comes along and says, great story, going from 5'11", undersized high school kid to All-American to great coach. And we're going to make the Lance Ancar story. Who plays what actor plays the lead role, Lance Ancar?
I would say just because, skin complexion and everything, maybe The Rock.
That's been strength and conditioning coach for football, Lance Ancar, this week on Inside Jag Nation. Coach, appreciate the time. I've enjoyed getting to know you here since you've come on board, and look forward to working with you throughout the fall and beyond.
Oh, I appreciate it, and go Jags.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!